Good Chanukah, gentlemen. What's pshat in the? What's the reason for the minig of the dreidels? I was thinking, why do we play the dreidels?
Gyroscopes.
What's that?
It's basically like a dreidel. It spins, and it creates a rotational force, like a solar system. So you can actually spin on a wall.
Really?
I'm sure you've got a better answer than me. But
sounds very good.
The technology of the time, and it's used in helicopters and lifts.
Really?
To keep level.
Really?
Small, but it's new technology, but to keep things level, so it spins at a certain angle. So if it always spins at vertical. So if the boat tilts, then the captain knows that the boat's at an angle.
Seriously, that's fascinating.
So when they span the dreidel, they're playing with technology. Which gets
very interesting.
My guess.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I want to suggest something else. It is very interesting. I want to suggest something this is a very, very, very a thought that there's something about the dreidel that you spin it, and then there's something afterwards. It remains. The outcome is a delayed outcome. So you spin it, and then you can't know what you've done your part, but what actually ends up being, that's not in your hands. I mean, it was in your hands, it may appear to be in your hands, but the outcome is whether it's going to fall on the nun or the hay or the gimel, and that's really, it's delayed, it's not really in your hands. There's a question, and the reason why I'm thinking of this is the following, that we know the halacha is that kofsen zokugla, that if when you light the menorah, you don't have to. If it goes off, what happens? If you light the menorah and everything was fine, there was sufficient oil, it was sufficient. The wicks was fine. Everything was fine. But it goes off. What's the halacha? Do you have to rekindle it? You don't really have to because kofsen zokugla. And hadlaka is a mitzvah when you're fulfilling the mitzvah by lighting and kofsen zoklo. If it goes off, then it's beyond. It's fine. You've done the mitzvah. Question is as follows: why is it that kofsen zoklo? Surely that what's the reason why we light? What's the reason why we light? Pesuminisa. That's right. To publicize Hakadosh Baruch Hu's nisim. To publicize the way we publicize Hakadosh Baruch Hu's nisim is by having a menorah. That seems to be difficult to understand. If the halacha is, if the rationale and the reason of the mitzvah is to pimfasim anes, so surely the halacha should be kofsa zokuklo. Surely it doesn't make sense that when you just light and it goes off after 5 minutes, you fulfill the mitzvah, that's fine, that's not good enough. Surely it would say that if the halacha is, if the reason of the halacha is pirsum anes, surely would assume that it has to be lit at very least a half an hour. If it does go off within the half an hour, you must light it again. You must, because it's pirsum anes. But yet, we find halacha is not like that. We find that if you light it and it goes off, you don't have to kindle it again, make it out then. So I think that the answer is because it's giving us a message that we're not responsible for the. As Rabbi Sol Salant used to say, when it comes to mitzvahs, you have to do your best. If actually you're successful or not, if actually the outcome is that you're matzliach or not, that's not in your hands, in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands. Pirsuman is, yes, we have to do our utmost to do mifas and denes. But as to whether we are successful or not, that's not in our hands, the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands. We must do our best, but the success is not in our hands. Simply, therefore, kofsa in zokugla, because you've tried your best. More than that, Ted, leave that to the Bernish Lelum. The idol indicates the same concept that you're doing a spin, but more than that is not in your hands. What happens, happens. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision already. That may be an additional reason for the meaning of the idols. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're up to Simon Shin Chof Ches, and we're up to Simon Seif Lamed Aleph. Not to be misquoted, this Seif, not to be misquoted. Tziporin Shepersha, nail, a fingernail, which is half disconnected. The tzitzin, these are pieces of skin. Tzitzin, shen kmin, rutsuas, dakos, are like thin leather bits around the fingernail. So you either have actual fingernail, which are half disconnected, or a bit of skin, which is like coming off a little bit around the nail. which has like is coming starting to come off from the skin of the finger, around the nail. If the majority has come off klapimalo towards the top, if it's come off facing up, they bother him, then you're allowed to take them off with your hand. You'll have to peel them off with your hand. If the pekli partu aval also, but with a keli, with if you're equipped with a tool, then you may not take it off. Loi peshuruban, but if it's not majority hasn't come off, biot partu aval also, it remains also with your hands. Bekli chayav chatos, if you're taking a kli with it, like a some sort of what those called the. Clippers, scissors, you're taking something out, and then it will be chayav chatos, it's also medraisa. Now, Peresh Rashi, so don't get too excited, pardon? Either the nail, half come off, or a bit of skin, half come off. Oh, so we're learning so far, you're shocked, and you're right to be shocked. But what we've learned so far, yes, if it's facing up, then you can. What does it mean facing up? That's a good question, because there's shenim acholik on that. Peresh Rashi, klapi malo, klapi rosh, it's boisov. Rashi lines upwards means klapi rosh, it's towards the top of the finger. If it's half come off, if it's facing that direction, that's when you may take it off by hand. For Rabbeinu Tam Peresh, and Rabbeinu Tam says, tainu klapi aguf, no, no, it's facing the other way. Is it when it means, the only time you can peel it off is when you're facing towards your body. We've got a machlokes of here. When is it mutter? Some rishonim learn that it's externally, and some. I suppose it depends how the skin grows and how it's, which direction it's, whatever, either or. But now the problem is that don't get too excited too quickly, because you have to be choshesh on both pshatim. If klapimolo means externally or internally. And therefore, Aloch Lamaisa, what does it mean? If you have to be chosh on both perushim, Aloch Lamaisa means that we can't do it. You can't do it. Because we don't know which pshat we go according to. According to some Rishonim, we can only peel it off if it's facing this direction. According to other Rishonim, you can only peel it off if it's in the opposite direction. And since we don't know how to pasken, so we're raising our hands, and actually, Aloch Lamaisa, we can't do it even biyad. Never mind, bikli. It's interesting. I agree with you. It's quite interesting that there is such a concept of a heter peeling off. Why would you be allowed to peel off a bit of skin or a bit of nail? Why would you be allowed to peel off? We know that normally you're doing a deraisa. So the answer is that it's only mishkshemetzarin osi if it bothers him, if it causes him a pain. Surely, only then it'll be muta.
Surely it would never be a deraisa. Because the deraisa would mean you want
the skin. Correct. So it would be melachshet zech l'gufa. Absolutely. It would probably be melachshet zech l'gufa. But even melachshet zech l'gufa surely should be also. And here we're learning that, yes, this combination of facing a certain direction, plus tza'a, plus melachshet zech l'gufa, all that together would be a heter. But halacha l'maaseh, again, we cannot use this. We can't. Normally we wouldn't see. That because it's roif, yeah. So, I mean, you're right. The people got to use the lashon mishnebura krotin. They've gotten something. Hey, the first word line im nikla roif meinu ketolosh domi. Then if it's the majority is off, it's considered if it's off already. Majority is off, considered if it's off already. Perhaps, but we wouldn't normally apply this halacha. Sif lamed beis teeth. Anybody teeth aches? Rabbi Yisai, teeth aches. Hachosh b'shinov. This is somebody who is in pain from, he's got pain in his tooth pain. Now, tooth pain can be bad. Anybody experience toothaches can be really bad. Anybody experience bad toothaches? Bad toothaches are bad. So, chosh b'shinov, somebody who has got a lot of tooth pain. Lo yigma b'hem chometz v'yiflot. You may not take a bit of vinegar and lo yigma, it means to sip. A bit of vinegar, V-fluid, and spit it out. Why would somebody sip vinegar?
Maybe in those days it was considered something that lessened the pain.
Yeah, and I think he probably, I can picture myself. Yeah, absolutely. I can actually very much picture vinegar helping, disinfecting, and it probably takes a bit of the pain away. So they would sip a bit of vinegar to when the person had a lot of toothache. But you're not allowed to do that. So a choshesh b'shenof, somebody has got pain in his tooth, lo yigma b'em choymet, do not take vinegar b'iflot and spit it out. Avol, but megamea v'boile, you're allowed to megamea b'boile, if you are sipping it and you are swallowing it, that's fine. I mean, it can't be particularly tasty to have a bit of vinegar, but then you're not evidently doing something which is refuah. You're not drinking a bit of vinegar. You know, you may not have the best taste, but to drink a bit of liquidy, you know, a bit of vinegar, why not? You know, you want something strong. It's not, you know, tastes a bit like whiskey, doesn't it? Yosli's not here, so no. It doesn't. Okay. But if somebody just sips a bit of vinegar, that's fine. As long as you're not spitting. If you're spitting it out, it's clearly you're doing something medicine related. You're doing a medical treatment. Certainly what you're allowed to do, you're allowed to dip a bit of, you take a bit of challah, you dip it in vinegar and you eat the challah. That's for sure. Okay. Why? We're allowed to take challah and put it in vinegar? That's no way of eating. So just because of a bit of vinegar in there, and just because it happens to help your pain a bit, it doesn't make it also. That's fine.
By that token, people who regularly use mouthwash
yeah.
during the week.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. They would be able to do that as well if that helps that toothache. Yeah. Yeah. Hachoshish bigroinoi, somebody who has got pain in his throat. His throat, sore throat. Hachoshish bigroinoi, lo yarenu b'shemen, do not take oil. What's it called what is it called? You may not do that. Le'arenu b'shemen, don't take the oil, and that probably will take a bit of the pain away. But if you're actually just going to swallow it, that will be okay. If you're taking the oil and swallowing it, if it helps. If it heals, it heals. If the pain is gone, very good. Great. So you'll have to do that. So the difference is, what's the difference? As to whether you are swallowing it or not. If you end up swallowing the oil in the second case, or the vinegar in the first case, if you're swallowing it, that's fine. However, if you're actually going to spit it out again, that makes both the oil for the throat and the vinegar for the teeth, that makes it also. Why is spitting also? Why will the spitting make it also? It's not where, therefore it's evident you're doing refuah.
Mishneh Berurah. Sivkot and Kuf Aleph. The loigma, the mucha milza shel refuah. If you're spitting it out, then it is evident, mucha milza, it's clear, shel refuah, you're doing a medical treatment, v'afuah lishois v'achka chivda also. And even to keep it in the mouth and kind of to keep it in the mouth a little bit and play around in the mouth, and then afterwards swallow it, that'd still be also. So if you're retaining it in the mouth, and after swallowing, that's also as well. Kuf Gimel repeats the same yesoid with regards to the oil. If you're retaining the oil in the mouth and later swallowing, that would be also as well, because it looks like you're doing a refuah. Okay, Seif Lamed Gimel. Goy Neach. Now, Goy Neach is somebody who is in tremendous pain. Goy Neach. And it is a specific pain which is heart related. Seif Kotten Kuvav in Mishneh Berurah. Goy Neach Mikev Liboy. It is somebody who's got tremendous heart pain. Mikev Liboy for me. He's got a heart issue. Sherefu Osoy. And his treatment is linoik cholok reseach mi beima, to drink a bit of hot milk straight from the udder of the animal. So this is somebody who's got a tremendous heart pain, and it must be tremendously painful. The only way to remove this pain is by drinking fresh milk from a cow. So and that's called the goneach. So goneach mutalinoik cholov behemo is allowed to drink straight from the behemo, from the animal. Why is that? Normally this is an issa drabon. Tebemokum tzar lo gozer rabon, because of this tremendous pain, chachomim did not
forbid it, and it's permitted to do that. Mishnah Berurah explains in Sefkot and Kuf Zayin, the B'mokom Tzara, Hainu, i.e., the Af, although the Iker Chaliva is a behemu midoraisa, although normally milking an animal is a deraisa issa, it's from the Torah, Mishum Mefarek, because he's doing Mefarek, he's doing Melocha of Mefarek, should hold the Dosh, which is like a type of separation. We've discussed this earlier extensively, that by drinking from taking the milk out of the animal, that's mefarik, that's like dosh, because the milk was, you're not separating the milk, you're taking the milk away, and that's mefarik the dosh, and mefarik, which is told to the dosh, that's also, which is after the same shin chav, mikol mokum. So why is it mutter over here? Surely taking from the, drinking from the animal, that surely should be melocha deraisa. Nevertheless, mikol mokum bezeh, surely didn't yinika, shukla chayat, this is a strange way of drinking, undoubtedly, that's kelachayal, it's a shinui. V'lo havel erek misad rabbonon, and that's a shinui, and that's the rabbonon only. Hetiru bezeh, they allow this because of tzar. So, Mishnah Berurah adds, v'v'av t'kayim alon, t'b'chol chol yishem b'sakona, omelin yudi v'oysa, ha'chashayin et refuah shaloi linak ba'atzmat, refuah v'yeh specifically, must drink from the animal directly. That's a bizarre medical treatment, but that's what he needs over here. In this specific heart condition, he must drink from the animal directly. And therefore, this strange, bizarre treatment, he can only do it directly. He can't ask a goy to do it for him. He must drink himself. And although normally that's a drabonon, means a shinu, it's a drabonon, it's also a drabonon. Here, because of the tzad, the tremendous pain, Chachomim allowed it. Okay. That's Sif Lamed Gemel. Sif Dalet. Loisekel Isha Cholav Mitudeo, Lesuri Chakois. A mother may not release some of her mother's milk, into a glass, into a cup. She may not do that. Or into a pot, for that matter. For Sonic is born, feed and nurse her baby that way. The baby, of course, is allowed to suck from a mother, but that must be directly. She may not put it into a cup and then feed or nurse her baby through the cup. That's also lo seikel isha cholav midodel lesoich hakoyis. If it's into the cup, it's also or lesoich kadeira. If it's sonic is no, that's also. And the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkot and Kufyud Aleph that it is in Sifkot and Kufyud Aleph for sonic mishum mefarik, because the melacha mefarik, as explained earlier, that's mefarik. Now the question that Rabbi Zalman was asked is, what happens if the baby wouldn't drink otherwise? There's babies at times that will not drink from their mothers and they will only drink through a bottle. What's the halacha then? Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said because we're talking about a dangerous situation and therefore it will be mutter if he really doesn't drink otherwise. But if there's alternatives, then one should attempt to avoid feeding through bottles. If there's an alternative, see if Lamed Hey, Muta leisha lekelach mecholof kideshecha zatinoik hadat v'yonek to release a bit of the, this is again the mother to release a bit of a milk so that the baby will drink, and that is permitted lekelach mecholof kideshecha zatinoik for giving the baby a bit of appetite, and then he'll drink from the mother. That's muta. Aval osu lehatiz mechol val al mishen noshu beruach ra. But for other purposes, if it's in order to get rid of a ruach ra or something, she wouldn't be allowed to take from mother's milk. Teles b'zakona, because there's no sakona. Sif lamed vav le noyasin matzteche. Now matzteche is a kind of he explains perushoi. Ein Simon Reish Yudvav, Seif Gimel, Perushoi, which the Mishnah Berurah explains, if cotton in Kuf Yudalet, Perushoi, who means Raf, Hayotzim in Oilon, Sheish Bereach Tov. It's a kind of liquid that comes from the trees. So you've got the trees, it's a bit of, what is that called? Some liquid that emerged from the trees?
Sap.
Okay, that's the word. So it's a kind of sap. Is that spelled S-A-P? Okay, so if it is sap emerging from the trees, and some people tend to chew that, why would a person chew that? So there's two reasons why a person would chew that. Either because a person would chew a bit of that sap. So a person would either stop that for medical purposes and medical qualities within that. Or a person may, because it has got a very good smell. Is that true? Saps have got a good smell. So if a person wants to chew that because of his odor, because it makes his mouth smell very nice, so that would be a different halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch says, follows in Sif Amadov, Ein loyasin matzlecha, you may not chew this matzlecha, this sap, veloy shofin by hashinayim, and you're not to use it for your mouth, for your teeth, for medical purpose. But if you're only doing it for the reach hapeh, for the odor for your mouth, mutter, then it's permitted, because that's not a medical purpose, and that would be mutter. So it depends what the purpose is. If your purpose is for mouth odor, that's mutter. If the purpose of the chewing of the sap is because of refuah, that would be also. See, Sif Lamed Zayin is a famous and important halacha. I think you mentioned it earlier. Any food or drinks which is a meichel b'riim, which is food of the healthy, allowed to eat or drink them for medical purpose. Although most people won't, even if there is that the people that won't normally drink it or eat it, of it, and it's for your particular case, it's evident that you're doing it for refuah. Nevertheless, it's mutter. The example for that is going to be a herbal tea. Rabbi Yisai, you're into herbal teas, anybody? Herbal teas? Teas? Yeah. Anybody? Teas? Herbal teas? So some of them are very, one of them is very strong. Which one is the one that a person will only have some herbal teas that are a bit more stronger?
Ginger maybe.
That's maybe ginger, yeah? Or perhaps any other herbal teas? You have any? Some people have herbal teas, apparently. So now, if a person has a herbal tea, will you say that it's a medical treatment or not?
Total
machal b'rim.
If you can have tea on Shabbos, which might be a separate bishul question.
Exactly. Okay, I'm leaving out bishul. You're right. Let's leave out bishul. For some reason, he prepared it beforehand or whatever. Now, what happens if a person will never have a herbal tea? Never have a herbal tea. He only has it when he's ill. Will he then be allowed to have it or not?
Would we say that it's like nikah? Because people do have it.
That's right. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here. The afal pichin koshin ktsas b'rim, even if it's normally it doesn't talk to him at all, and even if it's actually he doesn't like it at all, it koshim, it's hard for him, like for the ktsas b'rim, for the minority of people. And muchamil tzelefuah of it, and for him personally, for him individually, it is clear, it is muchach, that he's doing a medical treatment by having this tea. Afil hochi shari, nevertheless, it's mutter. For kol she'enu ma'achol ma'ashkel b'riim, but if something is not clearly a ma'achol b'riim, also lo'achol vishas refuah, then it's going to be also for him to drink or eat. For dafki mishesh la'mechash ba'alma. And it's only for somebody that's got a mechash ba'alma, who mischazik v'olech b'orik, who's walking around. Avalim enu shumra mechash. But if he's not unwell at all, if he's feeling perfectly fine, but he wants something which is not a ma'achal b'riim, then it's going to be mutav. Here the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us that if a person is well, the yesod of the sefer is over here, that if a person is well, he's allowed to have medicine. Why would a person have a medicine if he's well? I don't know. But if a person is well, the gzeir of food doesn't apply. That's the yesod of this. Perhaps that would be the yisod of ma'achal b'riim. Perhaps, yeah. Perhaps. Could be, could very well be. Okay, we'll maybe discuss this in greater detail and add a few halachas in next year, which is Be'ez Hashem going to be Sunday. I would like to wish you a freilich and Chanukah and a very good Shabbos. And we should enjoy we should continue enjoying and benefit from the oiris, from the lights of Chanukah. Shabbos Chanukah is momish a very special day, and we should enjoy it tremendously and steig. I wish you all a very good Shabbos. Now, Felich and Chanukah, to all. Good evening, Abba Yisrael.